This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. Lovely to have your company for another edition of the Irish programme live on Era. I have a little bit of an old frog or a tickle in the throat today for some strange reason, so please forgive me for that. Now, we've got a lovely programme coming up for you, and as always, if you would like to get in touch with me at any stage, the best way to do so for this programme is to email. So you can email Ger, G-E-R, at TRE.radio. Can I say thanks very much to Dave as well, looking after you for the last 2 hours, but also to say a big welcome back to him and safe journey home. I know he likes to travel along the A7 and have the radio on, and he says very nice things about the programme, so thank you for that, Dave, and glad to know that you had such a good time in the UK. So what's coming up? Oh, and thank you for letting me destroy your programme last week, by the way. What's coming up on the programme today? Well, George Lee will be talking to us about some of the stories that had people talking in Ireland over the last 7 days or thereabouts. Peter O'Dwyer makes a welcome return to us to talk to us about some of the things that have happened in recent times in relation to Brexit and how the Irish have reacted to that. We'll have some famous birthdays in there as per usual, and the music on the programme will be drawn not just from famous birthdays but also from our history lesson and things. We will have a history lesson, yes. There will be some music from yesteryear because we're going to play a number one song from this particular day back in 1967, an Irish number one in Ireland. That's what we like to do occasionally. There was a few people that contacted me last week when I was doing the daily for Dave looking for Irish songs, and I didn't want to turn the daily into an Irish programme per se. We had Riverdance and a few other bits and pieces, but I'm going to try and get two or three of the songs that were requested into the programme today for you as well. All right. So will we start with the birthdays? Right. Nothing of interest for you today, Monday, the 20th of May, but tomorrow, Tuesday, the 21st of May, Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, and she went on to have a very distinguished career with the United Nations after that. She was born in Ballina in 1944, so tomorrow she celebrates her 75th birthday. Michael Noonan, the former leader of the Fine Gael Party in Ireland, was born in Limerick in 1943. He's 76 years old, and up to a number of years ago was Minister for Finance. In fact, during the bad years, Michael Noonan would have been the architect of a lot of the things that were put in place to try and bring Ireland out of recession. Eamon Cregan, well-known Limerick hurler. He was born in 1945, so he's 74. So we've got a 74, 75 and 76-year-old tomorrow. James Plunkett, the playwright, was born in Dublin in 1920. The late Brian Lenehan Jr., again, another former Minister for Finance. He was born in Dublin in 1959, a man that died way too young and too quickly. Daniel O'Connell was born in Derrynane in County Kerry in 1745. If you know your history, you know who Daniel O'Connell is. On Wednesday, it's the 22nd of May, Graham Lenehan was born. Graham is the screenwriter and one of the people that brought you things like Father Ted. Well, he's born in Dublin, 1968, so happy 51st birthday to him. Mary Black was born in Dublin in 1955. Happy 64th birthday on Wednesday. George Best, wonderful football player, was born in Belfast in 1946. And Eva Gore Booth, A poet, trade unionist and feminist was born in Lissadell House. That's in Sligo. She was born in 1870. On Thursday, it's the 23rd of May, Luca Bloom was born Barry Moore in Newbridge in County Kildare in 1955. Happy 64th birthday to Luca. And Paul McGrath, the footballer, was born in 1966. Happy 53rd birthday to him. Friday is the 24th of May, and Paddy Bonner, wonderful Irish goalkeeper, born in Burtonport in County Donegal in 1960. Happy 59th birthday, Paddy. Siobhan McKenna, the wonderful Irish actor, was born in 1923. And Friday will be the 63rd birthday for Sean Kelly, the cyclist, born in Carrickenshire in County Tipperary. And finally, next Saturday, we don't have anything for Sunday. So next Saturday, the 25th of May, the actor Cillian Murphy was born in Douglas in County Cork, 1976. So happy 43rd birthday to him. And John Hunt, nearly said James Hunt, the motor car racer, but John Hunt, who was an expert in medieval art, was born in Limerick in 1900. If you're from that neck of the woods, or indeed if you're interested in medieval art or art of any type, you will be aware that there is a museum in Limerick called the Hunt Museum. It was set up by John and his wife many, many years ago, and it's absolutely fantastic there. So there we go. That's it. That's our famous birthdays for you for this coming week. And as we like to do, we draw our music from that. And the first piece of music I'm going to play for you is from a lady who's celebrating her birthday on Wednesday, Mary Black, born in Dublin 64 years ago. We wish her a happy birthday. And here she is with a fabulous song. It's called Katie, on Live on Era, the Irish programme, in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Tumbling curls of green by stained glass streaming light, and a yellow coloured lampshade used to keep us up all night, and a smile upon your face, tears upon your cheek, and the night sky on the window, your heart calling out to me, come running home again, Katie, come running home again, cross my heart and hope to die, shall I cause another tear from your eyes? Nightgown on the door, and the old pedal singer just don't sing no more. You can roll the reels for hours from the movie or this book. It's a question mark on this heart of mine, sends an elder back to look. Come running home again, Katie, come running home again. Cross my heart and hope to die, shall I cause another tear from your eye, Katie? Genius of a druid, when the sunlight floods the tomb, and I'm never going back there, and I couldn't anyway, 'cause though I made the great escape, I never got away. Come running home again, Katie, come running home again. Cross my heart and hope to die, shall I cause another tear from your eye? Come running home again, Katie, come running home again. Cross my heart and hope to die, shall I cause another tear from your eye, Katie?
That's That's a beautiful song. It comes from Mary Black, birthday girl on Wednesday. Happy birthday to her. That's a lovely song called Katie. We're going to take a very quick commercial break. Come back to me just after that, and we will be talking to Peter O'Dwyer about things that have happened in relation to Brexit in the last wee while and the Irish reaction to those things.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme, and we say a very big welcome back to Peter O'Dwyer as well. Peter has been keeping us up to date over the past 12 months on a weekly basis, really, in relation to what's been happening in Ireland, looking at the Brexit story. But we stopped doing the weekly thing recently because there really wasn't a whole lot happening that we had to report on. So, but anyway, we said we'd dip in and we'd dip out, and today I thought was a good time to do so. So Peter is on the line. Peter, good to talk to you again.
Thanks, sir.
And thank you for making the time to talk to us. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot happening since the Easter holidays. The last time that the vote was rejected in the House of Commons, they all went off on their holliers. Obviously, there was things happening in the background. But the big news, I suppose, came in the last week when Jeremy Corbyn wrote to Theresa May and said, "Dear Theresa, we're not meeting anymore." They seem to have called off the talks that were ongoing for the past 6 weeks. Is that significant?
Yeah, it's hugely significant. I suppose the kind of great white hope of this Brexit omni-shambles or certainly ongoing saga has been these talks between Labour and the Tories. If you were thinking optimistically about it, you were kind of hoping that somehow, kind of against all the odds, they'd come to a compromise solution and we could get on and get a Brexit deal through the Parliament. But more realistically, that was never going to happen, and that's kind of how it has turned out. The Irish government are understandably pretty disappointed with that outcome. Fianna Fáil was saying that it's a very negative outcome, saying that he wasn't going to sugarcoat it, that it just added more uncertainty to what was already a very, very difficult situation in Westminster. So all of which means, I suppose, that we're kind of heading back to where we were before that break that you just mentioned, which is, can Theresa May find anything to get through Parliament, to get a majority and to deliver some sort of unity as to what sort of Brexit the UK wants? That still seems probably as unlikely as it was before we broke up for that break, unfortunately.
Now, we woke up yesterday morning, Sunday morning, to hear that Theresa May has something up her sleeve, she says. She's going to bring something different and something special to the House of Commons. There's not a lot she can do, is there?
No, I think you'd want to be a real Theresa May loyalist and optimist now to think that she has this rabbit in a hat that she's been keeping hidden from all of us for a number of months at this stage. Coveney, when he was talking about the collapse of the talks, said that there was a big onus on her to bring some sort of construct forward between now and, he was saying, the first week of June that would command some sort of a majority. Now, obviously, the extension that was agreed in the Brexit negotiations goes until the end of October, but he's obviously trying to put a bit of a squeeze on it. He's saying we need to know by early June because it looks like quite a length of time to go until the end of October. But in terms of the amount of time the Parliament is actually going to sit, it's quite restricted. There's holidays to be had, and he spoke about in September, you get into the conference period, so the Tories and Labour will have their conferences. And he quite rightly said that that's kind of time for sabre-rattling and not for compromise. So really, you'd need something done before that. But all of this is probably kind of talking around the issue. The issue is, as it was a couple of months ago, that there is no majority. So she'll probably try to bring back at least a lot of the proposals that were shot down a couple of months ago. But at the moment, it still seems unlikely that any of them are going to command enough of a majority.
Now, in any political scenario in the UK, the Irish would always keep a very close eye on it. But the announcement during the week that Theresa May was going to lay out her timetable for stepping down in June during the week will have to have focused the attention. And the comments that Simon Coveney made in relation to needing something by the first week or two in June, has that anything to do with maybe a change at the top of the Conservative Party?
They're obviously pretty displeased with how this process has been handled. I think that's true of both the Irish government and of Brussels and of pretty much every government in the EU now at this stage. Everybody's a bit sick of it. But that being said, I think the Irish government and Brussels, for all their faults, would rather deal with Theresa May when you see the alternative is most likely to be Boris Johnson. We saw there was much polling done last week in the UK and some of the papers, and Johnson was by far and away ahead of everybody else. So if and when Theresa May steps down, as you mentioned, she set out the timetable last week. I mean, the alternative that's coming afterwards is probably even less palatable to what's currently there. There has been no way forward with this Prime Minister, but at least they feel that, for the most part, she is reasonable. She wants to deliver a reasonable sort of Brexit. She hasn't been able to do it, but she is at least trying to be sensible, whereas God knows what Boris Johnson will want to deliver.
Now, if you look at the previous prime ministers, when Margaret Thatcher stepped aside, I think it was Michael Heseltine was the person that most thought would take her place. But it was John Major, who was a major, pardon the pun, major surprise. Theresa May herself, when Cameron stepped aside, was a little bit of a surprise. So the fact that Boris Johnson is like leading the polls at the minute, there might be a glimmer of hope that things may not go according to plan.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, there's always surprises when these races, leadership races, come along. But unfortunately, that glimmer of hope would probably be snuffed out from an Irish / EU perspective, given that the next in command or the next favourite is Dominic Raab. And we've already had a run at Dominic Raab trying to deliver Brexit and get the deal over the line. So I don't think that would be much more palatable either.
All right. And in terms then of Europe, is there any talk in Ireland in relation to the replacement for Jean-Claude Juncker? Because his term as president of the European Commission is coming to an end. And he has been very supportive of Ireland and of the backstop and of the agreement that's there. Is there any concern that somebody coming along may not be as strong as he is, or is that support there and there, it can't be moved?
I think there's a general feeling that the support will remain no matter who's there, but I suppose, like all these things, until that's tested, you don't know if that's actually true. So what you can say about Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker is that that has been tested on a number of occasions, and Michel Barnier, and they have stood by Ireland's side and they have been steadfast in that regard. Until such time as the new leadership is tested to that extent, it'll be hard to say whether it is, but the expectation would be that the support would remain. Now, that said, if again we get to October, we already saw when the previous extensions were agreed that while support for the Irish position remained pretty strong, there's, as I mentioned earlier, a real growing unease with how long this is going on. A lot of European leaders feel like Brexit, obviously through no fault of Ireland, but Brexit is continuing to eat up so much time that could be better used tackling any number of the issues that the EU has. So if we get to October, you could easily see the likes of Macron and a couple of others just saying, listen, let them leave, let them get out. We've kind of supported Ireland as far as we can, and we don't want this to happen, but what's the alternative? We can't keep going with this forevermore.
All right. We shall have to wait and see, as is usually the final line with us. But our final line is not that today, because today is a special day for yourself. It was your first day as the business correspondent with the Sunday Business Post in Ireland. You have moved on to a different newspaper in Ireland. So congratulations. Are you looking forward to the new task?
Yeah, thank you very much. I am. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be my first time working with a Sunday newspaper rather than a daily. So there'll be a lot of kind of looking from the sidelines for 5 days a week and then hopefully doing some good stuff at the weekend. So that's the challenge.
All right. Well, listen, we wish you the best. And as always, we thank you for joining us on Live on Air to talk to us about Ireland and our current view on Brexit as things happen. Peter O'Dwyer, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, sir.
On a day of days, I stood and gazed over the western sea. Startled and struck and frightened to look when a mermaid called to me. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, my sunny sailor boy. Like a man in a dream, for an aged scene, I stood as still as a stone, while the mermaid sang and her melody rang like a memory calling me home. Wow, 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 my sunny sailor boy. and the sea and the wind and the shore's dead spin. Though my resistance was strong, all the stars in space filled the mermaid's face. She captured my will with her song. Sunny sailor boy. Ooh, wow, wow. Ooh, wow, wow. My sunny sailor boy. Somehow I spoke, the enchantment broke. I rubbed my eyes open wide. Like a dream, she was gone. What remained was a song, born on the ebbing tide. Sunny sailor boy.
That song previously on the program, but it is an absolutely gorgeous song, and I thought we should give it a spin for you. From Luca Bloom, Barry Moore is his real name, and Barry was born in 1955, 23rd of May. This Thursday he celebrates his 64th birthday, so happy birthday to him, Luca Bloom. Alright, we'd like to take a listen back to some Irish number ones from yesteryear. And today we're going to go back as far as 1967, so 52 years ago. And the gentleman who had the number one song on this day and that year was a man by the name of Johnny McAvoy. And Johnny is still very much, I am glad to say, on the scene in Ireland. He was born in 1945, and we did give him a mention recently on the birthday file when we were talking about famous birthdays. He was born in Banagher in County Offaly. And he started his career, his singing career, in a duo called Ramblers 2 with a fellow by the name of Michael Crotty. Now, they went to the UK, toured a little bit in Ireland, had one or two songs on release, and they broke up shortly after that. But in 1966, Johnny himself had a smash hit, a number one song that spent 3 weeks at the top of the charts with a song called Mairsín Dearcháin, and that was really the making of him. And he became a solo artist, even though he did put a band together over the years. And he followed that with a song that I'm going to play for you from 1967, and that too spent 3 weeks at number one. It was there on this day in 1967. He toured the States actually in that year as well, and played Carnegie Hall, and since then really he has been a constant, and he has constantly been to the fore in the Irish entertainment world. So let's go back to 1967, the number one song on this day from Johnny McAvoy. Here's a song that's called The Boston Burglar.
I was born and raised in Boston, a place you all know well, brought up by honest parents, the truth to you I'll tell. Brought up by honest parents and raised most tenderly, till I became a sporting lad at the age of 23. My character was taken and I was sent to jail. My friends, they came and tried in vain to get me out on bail. The jury found me guilty The clerk, he wrote it down. The judge, he passed the sentence. I was bound for Charlestown. They placed me on an eastbound train one cold December day. And every station we passed through, you could hear the people say, there goes the Boston burglar, in cold chains he's bound. For one crime or another, he is bound for Charlestown. All you who have your freedom, take a warning if you can. And don't go round the streets at night, breaking laws of God and man. For if you do, you'll surely rue and find yourself like me, serving up full 20 years in the penitentiary.
The lovely voice of Johnny McAvoy. That's a song that's called The Boston Burglar. And that was number one on this date back in 1967 in Ireland. Let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that and we shall have a wee history lesson.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. A history lesson for you. Some of the things that happened down through the years in this coming week that I thought might be of interest to you in relation to Ireland. Today being the 20th of May, it was on this day back in 1922 that Eamon de Valera and Michael Collins agreed to a pact whereby a national coalition panel of candidates will represent the pro and anti-treaty wings of Sinn Féin throughout Ireland in the forthcoming general election. In 1927, on this day, the opening hours of the Irish public houses was restricted by the Intoxicating Liquor Act. 1932, Amelia Earhart took off from Newfoundland for Ireland on the anniversary of Charles Lindbergh's famous flight. She landed near Derry and became the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. In 1969, students staged a sit-in at the University College in Dublin to protest conditions in Northern Ireland. In 2001, more than 500,000 people lined the streets to watch the postponed St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin. That was all to do with the foot and mouth disease, wasn't it? So there was no parade on the 17th of March, so we had it instead in Dublin on the 20th of May. What a lovely thing to do. 2001, the same year, former US President Bill Clinton began a four-day trip to Ireland with a round of golf at Ballybunion. Now, this is a true story. There was a hairdresser's called Monica's in Ballybunion at the time. I don't know if it's still there or not. But of course, the signage had to be covered up in case at all that Bill Clinton would be photographed beside a sign saying Monica's. But there you go. That's a true story. 2003, the Irish government restricted alcohol advertising. The advertising was banned from buses, trains, cinemas and sporting events and was not allowed before 10 p.m. on television. Tomorrow is the 21st of May, 1980. On that day, Taoiseach Charles Haughey and British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher met in London and agreed to consider what they called the totality of relationships within these islands. And if rumours are true, those two didn't get on at all, at all. 1981, on that day, at 2:11 a.m., Raymond McCreesh died on hunger strike in the Maze prison. Later the same day, at 11:29 p.m., his friend and fellow hunger striker Patsy O'Hara died. In 1999, on that day, Bono and Larry Mullen appeared on RTE's The Late Late Show to present longtime host Gay Byrne with a black Harley Davidson as a going-away present on his retirement. In 1999, the Jack Lynch Tunnel, described as the most challenging civil engineering project in the history of the state, was unveiled by Taoiseach Bertie Ahern at the entrance of the tunnel in Mahon in County Cork. The year 2000, demonstrators picketed Drogheda Heritage Centre as the death mask of Oliver Cromwell was put on display, where he is reported to have massacred thousands of defenceless civilians. And in 2003, according to a new survey published in the Wall Street Journal, the Irish remain among the most content races on earth. Nice. I wonder, are we still as content? I'm sure we are. On Wednesday, it's the 22nd of May, and on that day, back in 1971, members of the Irish Women's Liberation Movement defied the law by bringing contraceptives bought in Belfast into Connolly Railway Station in Dublin. There was ructions. 1997, pneumonia caused the quiet passing of Dr. Noel Brown at the University College Hospital in Galway at the age of 81. 1998, the Good Friday Agreement was overwhelmingly endorsed in referendums north and south of the border. And in 2000, a survey shows that half of Ireland's small and medium-sized businesses have their own website, which was good back then. And 2003, hurling reached its highest peak when Gerard MacDonald from Limerick brought the spirit of the GAA to Mount Everest. He sent a ball flying above 29,000 feet. Wow. Thursday is the 23rd of May, and on that day, in 1798, the United Irish Rebellion began in Leinster. In 1920, railway workers refused to transport troops from that date. In 1999, rural post offices were given a lifeline when the government announced its strongest commitment yet to preserving regional services. That's all gone by the wayside now since then. And in 2002, the long simmering division between Roy Keane and manager Mick McCarthy erupted into a huge row, and Keane was expelled from the World Cup squad. Kind of sick of the whole Saipan thing. It's raised every so often, isn't it? Friday, the 24th of May, 1987, on that day, a referendum in the Republic approved the Single European Act. And in 1998, Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams signalled that the terrorist war was over and that the gun could finally be removed from Irish politics. If only that was true. 25th of May is next Saturday, and on that day in 1895, Oscar Wilde was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment for offences against public decency. 1912, the first issue of the weekly suffrage magazine Irish Citizen appeared. 1914, the British House of Commons passed the Irish Home Rule for the third time. And in 1993, a fellow by the name of Dawson Stelfox became the first Irishman to conquer Everest. On Sunday, the 26th of May, back in 1650, Oliver Cromwell left Ireland on board the frigate President Bradshaw. His deputy and son-in-law Henry Ireton took control of the Irish campaign and captured Burgh Castle. 1873, Trinity College in Dublin abolished all remaining religious restrictions for entry, with the exception of the Faculty of Divinity. In 1897, the first publication of Dracula, written by Dublin man Abraham or Bram Stoker. In 1950, the end of petrol rationing in Northern Ireland. 1972, the Special Criminal Court, with three judges and no jury, was set up in the Republic. And finally, it was on this day, sorry, that day, which is next Sunday, the 26th of May, back in 1918, that Derry band The Undertones reached number one in the UK charts with My Perfect Cousin. And here it is for you.
Playing along with the art school boys, girls try to attract his attention, but
go. That's the song that was number one in the UK on the 26th of May back in 1980. Undertones from Derry and a song called My Perfect Cousin. I did make reference at the top of the programme. During the week, I was filling in for Dave on The Daily, and I was asked by May, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was May, and she gave me a call and said, Ger, would you play Luke Kelly and the Rocky Road to Dublin? I said, I'll tell you what, May, I'll put it in next Monday. How's that? So I'm going to give it a spin for you right now in the hopes that you're listening. The wonderful sound of the Dubliners with Luke Kelly and the Rocky Road to Dublin.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn and leaf, for I was born, got a stout MacLeod, the bunnies, ghost and goblets, a brand new pair of brogues to rot the love of the bogs and frighten all the dogs on the rocky road. To Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt a hare and turn them down the rocky road, and all the ways to Dublin, my fal-al-de-da. In Mullingar that night I rested limb so weary, started by daylight, next morning late, and there he took a drop of the pure to keep me heart and drink, and that's the paddy's cure, when there he's up for drinking, they hear the lassie smile, laughing all the while, at me curious style, to touch a heart above, and he asked me, was I hired, and wages I required, till I was almost tired of the rocky road, to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt a hare and turn him down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, my fal-al-de-da. In Dublin next arrived, I thought it such a pity to be so still in the private view of Dublin City, then I took a stroll, all among the quality bundle, it was stowed in the neat locality, something crossed me mind, when I looked behind, no bundle could I find upon me stick. Go warren and fire and after the rogue said me cunnus brogue, it wasn't much in bow on the rocky road, to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt ahead and turn them down the rocky road, and all the ways to Dublin, my fal-al-de-da. From there I got away, me spirits never failing, landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing, captain at me road said that no room had he, when I jumped aboard a cabin flew for paddy down among the pigs, did some hearty rigs, I played some hearty jigs, the water ruined me bubbling, when I fully head I wished myself was dead, or better far instead, on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up the hill and turn them down the rocky road, and all the ways to Dublin, my fal-al-de-da. The boys have lived but cool, when we safely landed, called myself the fool, I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil, temper I was new as impure, old Aaron's Isle, they began abusing, hurrah me, so well says I, me shillelagh, I let fly, Galway boys were by, and so I was a hobbling with the low hooray, the joy and in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road, to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt a hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the ways to Dublin, my fal-al-de-da.
And a well-deserved round of applause as well. Luke Kelly and the Dubliners and the Rocky Road to Dublin. May, and I think your husband's name is Paddy, if I'm not mistaken. Are you in Benalmádena or Arroyo or somewhere in that area? I hope you were listening today and I hope that you enjoyed that as well. Right, let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. And I am going to be talking to my old pal, George Lee, about things that had Irish people talking in Ireland over the last week or thereabouts.
On Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
You are very welcome to another look back at some of the events that took place over the last week or so in Ireland. And as always, joining me, not via satellite today, but via Skype from Ireland, is George Lee. George, nice to have you on the programme, as always.
And you too, Ger. The technology is wonderful.
Isn't it just absolutely mighty? It's probably just as well for people who listen to this. They can't see you like I can.
As you got the makeup done as well.
Yeah. Did you? Come here. One of your favourite places in the whole wide world is West Clare. We know that for a fact. This week, West Clare has been pretty much to the fore since last Wednesday because US President Donald Trump announced, well, sorry, no, I beg your pardon. The Irish people announced that Donald Trump was to visit Ireland on the 5th, 6th, and possibly the 7th of June. And what was glaringly obvious from the announcement was that Mr. Trump was going to meet our Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, in Drumoulin Castle and not at the beautiful golf club back in West Clare that is owned by President Trump and his family. Discuss.
in three words or less. Interestingly, I was listening to the news just before we came on, Ger, and Simon Coveney was interviewed on it as well, and he said, you know, that there isn't a difficulty, that this has been all blown out of proportion, but that they're waiting for confirmation from the US side, and it's actually more of a problem as to what is considered a private visit or a state visit. So that's where the difficulty lies, they said, not in the Dromolan Dunbeg story.
And you always believe, of course, what Simon Coveney and others would say.
Oh, I would, of course, Ger. Yeah. Or it could also be maybe that they don't want to confuse a commercial place that he has a commercial interest in with a state visit, and maybe that's where the difficulty is arising. But there's one thing for sure and certain, there is a problem here somewhere that the diplomatic people are trying to sort out.
Anyway, they might do a bit of fishing back there. You'd never know. The mackerel would be in by then, won't they?
They should be, yeah, Ger, yeah, if he has the feathers.
We can give him a few, I'm sure. Right, now, obviously something we have to be very careful of, the arrest on Thursday morning of three members of An Garda Síochána Síochána is certainly occupying people's attention and their minds at the moment. Now, this is part of an ongoing investigation into corruption within the Garda Síochána Síochána, and all three members have been released without charge. For one of the members that was arrested on Thursday, it was the second time that this individual had been arrested. Now, as the case is an ongoing one, there's very little that we can say except to say that the investigation is related to a criminal gang operating in the Midwest and one that has been targeted by Gardaí and the Criminal Assets Bureau in recent times.
It certainly isn't one that you'd want to do a whole lot of comment on, but suffice to say that the three Gardaí involved, two of them are particularly at a very senior management level. There's one superintendent, I believe, one inspector and a member of the rank and file. In listening to the commentary this morning, apparently there was a sting operation put in place where false information was put into the system from the Garda point of view, and that information was relayed back to the criminal gang, and that's where this sting is. Now, that is a speculation according to the newspapers this morning.
This is unfortunate because one of the things that struck me about Limerick went through a very troubled period, as you know, a number of years ago. And when it was decided that it needed to be cleaned up and cleaned up quickly, and the emergency response unit and various other units were brought in from outside to take on the people, what was very clear was that there wasn't a single leak from the Gardaí in all that was going on. It was fantastic to hear. So it's a pity to hear this story coming out.
It is, Ger, and I mean, I work quite closely with the Gardaí in Limerick on any number of levels, and I have to say I have always found them incredibly professional and incredibly open and willing to work, particularly from a community perspective, and this is just very unfortunate.
All right, enough said on that one, I think. Good news for farmers. A fund of €50 million to support Irish beef farmers has been agreed upon by the European Commission. The Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine submitted an application to Europe seeking funding for struggling beef farmers brought about by the uncertainty relating to Brexit.
I suppose the other good news for the farmers is that the Irish government said they'll match the European 50 million with 50 million from themselves. Mm. This really is around the mounting financial pressure that could come on farmers over the whole Brexit issue, because the UK is Ireland's biggest trading partner. And one of the first things I know that when the details were released of how it was going to affect Ireland, one of the first things was the farming community. So this will be very welcome.
And of course, no coincidence that there is elections coming up and this was just happened to be announced. It's great.
Well,
it's
great. Yeah, absolutely. We're the cynic now.
No, a sad story, George. The family of Seamus Lawless, a college professor who has been missing after completing a climb to the summit of Mount Everest, has launched an appeal to help raise funds to arrange a search for his body. It's now a recovery mission. This is tough, isn't it?
It's a very, very tough one. And again, listening to the radio reports on it, it's at a place on the mountain which is notorious. It's about 8,500 metres high. And apparently helicopters can only go to 6,000 metres. So the chances of this body being recovered are probably very slim, despite the fact they're hoping that they may be able to get some Sherpas that have been acclimatized to the mountain and maybe just coming back down from another mission. because otherwise there is an acclimatization process that needs to be gone through because they're so high. And if these people are already at base camp, they have done that. But the difficulty is that they're three-quarter ways through the season of climbing on Mount Everest at this point, and any of the Sherpas that have come back down are probably too tired to go back up again. Okay. And this is where their difficulty is. But look, it's a very, very, very sad story, particularly, I mean, he was climbing it for charity. Yeah. He was part of an eight-member expedition led by the experienced climber Noel Hannah.
There were brilliant pictures up on his Twitter account that morning, just fantastic pictures. We've kind of done it. Here we are, as you would see regularly from people who do that. But a sad story, and I suppose our thoughts with his family and his friends at this time. Now, we have two stories, kind of with a little bit of a religious twist in it. After more than 50 years, the Knock Marriage Bureau, as it's called, has announced that it is to cease operations. Announcing the news on Friday, Father Stephen Farraher, who has been in charge of the matchmaking service since 2017, said that the world is a very different place in 2009, and the advent of online dating and apps are among the contributing factors to the closure of the bureau. This was a great old story, wasn't it, for the last 50 years?
Yeah, it's very hard to knock what they've done, Jerry, you know.
Boom, boom.
Do you think it was lost on me, do you?
Oh, you came up with that all by yourself, did you?
Yeah, look, it's a lovely story. And in fairness, quite a few couples have met through this. Times move on, and I suppose the internet wasn't around in those days. Particularly, I suppose, in rural Ireland, there was a difficulty in people getting to meet. This was a way that, I suppose, moved it on a little bit, maybe from the matchmaker and his big book. And this was the next step along it. And maybe now that we're gone into the next phase, it's time to move this on as well. I'm just surprised that they didn't try to do something maybe online, which might have changed that as well, you know.
I said we had two stories with a little bit of religion in it, and a nun who only speaks for 1 hour per day due to a vow of silence has until December to find a new home after being brought to court by Cork County Council over an alleged breach of planning laws. Tell me what this is.
It's a strange case, I suppose. They constructed a two-story cladded building near Lepp in West Cork, in Cork, a wooden chapel as well as a wooden shed and timber fence that had an unauthorised access to the road. This lady is a sister called Sister Irene, and she's been a Carmelite nun of the Holy Face of Jesus for 30 years. And in fact, the court case happened on the day after the newest recruit to the order received her final vows. So it was a real baptism of fire, if you'll excuse the expression. Yeah. This order takes a vow of obedience and poverty, and the court heard that due to the vow of silence, she can only speak for one day or 1 hour a day, which sounds like heaven. Cork County Council took the proceedings before Skibbereen District Court, alleging a breach of the Planning and Development Act 2000. A large crane had been on site as recently as April, reducing the building to one story. Mm. I suppose the bottom line on this one, Ger, is that the judge granted an adjournment until December 10th, saying that they were subject to the law. But I suppose in trying to find a way of mitigating things, he said that one of the many orders in West Cork or the diocesan authorities could offer the nuns a new home. Mm-hmm. And they also might consider offering a location to the West Cork Women Against Domestic Violence Project, which is also seeking a site. So maybe that's where the solution will come.
George McNulty, obviously a man of sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, George, we'll leave it at that for another week, and we will, of course, be having another chat next week. In the meantime, thanks very much for joining me, as per usual, and we look forward to chatting with you next week.
Lovely Horland, John.
Lovely Horland, you wish.
I was 18 years old when I went down to Dublin with a fistful of money and a cartload of dreams. Take your time, said me father, stop rushing like hell. Remember, all is not what it seems to be. For those fellas would put you for the coat on your back, or the watch that you got from your mother. So take care, me young bucko, and mind yourself well. Will you give this wee note to me, brother? At the time, Uncle Benji was a policeman in Brooklyn. Me father, the youngest, looked down to the farm. When a phone call from America said, send the lad over,
the old fella said, sure it wouldn't do any harm. Where I've slept, where I've worked in this dirty old ground, where a few pints of porter and the smell of a pound, sure maybe there's something you'll learn, I'll see, and you can bring it back home, make it easier. So I landed at Kennedy, and a big yellow taxi carried me and me bags through the streets and the way. Well, me poor heart was thumping around with excitement, I hardly even heard what the driver was saying. We came in the short parkway to the flatlands in Brooklyn, to my uncle's apartment on East 53rd. I was feeling so happy, I was humming a song, and I sang, "You're as free as a bird." Well, to shorten the story, what I found out that day was that Benji was shot out in an uptown parade. And while I was flying my way to New York, poor Benji was lying in a cold city mall. Well, I phoned up the old fella, told him the news. I could tell he could hardly stand up in his shoes. And he wept as he told me, go ahead with the plan, but not to forget, be a proud Irishman. So I went up to Nellie's beside Forum Road, and I started to learn about lifting a load. But the heaviest thing that I carried that year was the bittersweet parts of my hometown so dear. I went home that December, cause the owl fella died, had to borrow the money from Phil on the side. And all the bright flowers the grass couldn't hide, the poor wasted face of the father. I sold up the old vineyard for what it was worth, into my bag stuck a handful of birds. Then I boarded a train, and I caught me a plane, and I found myself back in the U.S. again. It's been 22 years since I've set foot in Dublin. The kids know to use the correct knife and fork, but I'll never forget the green grass and the rivers as I keep law and order on the streets of New York.
And that's another song that I wanted to play because Kieran O'Hara from the Costa Gaels, Kieran gave me a shout last week and asked me if I could play that. And I said, look, I'll tell you what, we'll drag it on to the Monday programme if you don't mind. The Wolf Tones and a great song called The Streets of New York. There we go. Kieran, hope you're listening, and hi to you and your family, and indeed the Costa Gaels family as well, who had a wonderful family occasion, family day out at the Marbella Rugby Club on Saturday. So well done. And I know that a few bob was collected for the two chosen charities on the day. That's my lot for today. I'll be back with you again next Monday between 6 and 7 for another Live on Era. In the meantime, if you'd like to contact me for any reason, you can do so at ger@tre.radio. Thank you to George Lee. Thank you very much to Peter O'Dwyer. Thank you, as always, to our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant, that is Jose Antonio Sierra. But most especially, thank you very much for listening this evening. I do hope I can have the pleasure of your company again next week. I was going to play this song last week, but I just ran out of time because the Brennan sisters from Clonard celebrated their birthdays, and we gave them a mention last week on the programme. Going to finish with it. Thank you, as always, to emeraldconnection.net, our sponsors, and I do hope that you will have yourself a nice week. Look after yourselves and each other until we see each other again. From me, Ger Sweeney. Bye-bye now. I'm not a human.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit TRE.radio.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.